Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Buddy.
David.
Man. So I got out of the field, like, when was that? February?
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Work in the field all day, work out a little bit during the week, you know, 2-3 days a week. After that, I was like, F it, I'm not going to do anything, right? I told you this the other day.
Yeah.
I went to get my bow out, 10 shots. I had 12.
And your shoulders roached.
13, I couldn't pull my bow back. The next day I wait, I shot 2, couldn't pull my bow back. Today I got out there, 5 shots, couldn't pull my bow back. Like, I didn't realize how... I don't want to say out of shape I was. I mean, I'm out of shape. Like, bad enough where I started working out again, like, yeah, 3 days ago, right? But I just didn't realize all of those little muscles I hadn't been using. Dude, when you get over 40, you got to keep moving.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah.
I'm in the worst shape of my life, I think.
If it makes you feel any better, I've only pulled my bow back once in 5 years, and it was to shoot that 191-inch deer in my backyard.
I don't, that does not make me feel bad or good. I think I was probably happier than you were.
You were.
I was like, you shot, like, he sends me this picture. It's just a dead deer laying
in
a field.
I'm like, hey, what are you doing? Can you come give me a hand? And he's like, sure, what you got? And I sent him the picture of the dead deer piled up against a tree.
I was over here in 30 seconds. I'll be there as fast as I can.
That Chevy was screaming to get over here.
Oh, man, I was excited. But I think I've just always taken for granted how active I've been.
Yeah.
Like, just being active, you know, being fit. And then you just let it slide for like 6 months and you're over 40 and you're like, I'm a wasted sack of shit right now.
Damn. Yeah.
Like,
I look like Dom.
I'm like,
from Gone in 60 Seconds.
It was bad.
Yeah.
I'm not 40, but it was like that when I went from Quit Trip to, like, here, because the lifestyle is like...
Oh, we've watched it.
They get no...
Dude, you're lining us up with fastballs. Yeah. I don't know what you want.
Hey, I'm just...
You can't pipe one down the middle and expect me not to take a swing.
I'm just being relatable. You know, you're talking about that. I'm just like, you know, it's like that with Kutcherov. You know, like, 10-hour days and you don't get breaks or get to sit down. Yeah, I'm not like, you know... digging in the hole, you know, in the ground.
But just being on your feet, like, you're, you know, you're just burning calories. And then all of a sudden you don't. Like, that's what happened to me. It was super active and then not active for 6 months.
Yeah.
And then, like, wake up, like, it's fall. Oh, I'm going to do all kinds of great stuff. And after 2 days, I'm like, I think I'm dying.
Yep.
I just felt like crap, man. Got to get back on the horse.
There's
got to.
I don't say this to brag, but I say this to add to your point. There's got to be something to be said, the fact that I am the most in shape in our company, and I do the least amount of physical work.
Yeah. Which, because you're dedicated to it.
Disciplined to
I think it was probably
not
a good,
letting it slide.
I think it was probably a good, like, come to Jesus meeting for myself. Like,
yeah.
I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, I've just always taken it for granted and not realized how blessed I was to be fit and be... being physical and it not letting, and now I've like had that, you know, perspective shift of, okay, I got to start taking care of myself again.
Right.
I've got to.
Can you dial your bow back?
I'm not going to do that. I will force myself to do it.
Well, I guess what I'm saying, if you dial it back, you can condition yourself back into it.
Oh.
But if you try to force yourself,
that's how you get hurt.
Like,
yeah,
10 reps and failure. Like, that's injury, right? Whereas if you draw up it back to like 50-pound draw weight or 60-pound draw weight, then now you can actually practice and cycle and strengthen yourself.
But yeah, mine is, so the way it works is it's a single cam bow. So as long as both limbs are done equally, yeah, you can. It won't get out of time or anything.
Right.
Like, my sights would just be off, but...
Yeah, your sights would be off and you have to expand them out a little bit because they're going to drop farther.
Or to be honest, I'd probably just wing it, and then before I went, I'd just... you know, dial it back up. But yeah, I mean, I just, it's bad, man.
And you were like exercising, like, you didn't have to think about it because you worked so much and you're in the field where it's like you get off and you've kind of almost exercised a little bit, you know? Or
yeah,
it's like,
you've worked a little bit, and then I would work out a few days a week, right? Mm-hmm. And like that was enough for like what I would say is a high energy workout.
Right.
And then it just went to zero.
Yep.
Like I just let myself down. This is bad. You can't do that, man. You got to stay active. It's like the old people that live across the street from me, right? It's so weird. I was talking to, so Doug is, I think he's 72 and his parents passed away like 95, 94, right? They'd be out in the field and working all day, cutting their own grass, doing all that. And he's like, man, the only time they ever went downhill is when they just decided we're just going to be in a rocking chair now. I'm old. I've worked. Yep. It's like it just right off the cliff. He's like, if you stay busy, and he does, like he's busy. He's out there doing stuff all the time, riding his bike every day.
Yeah,
man. But it takes making yourself get up and do it.
Yeah.
The self-discipline aspect of it is.
So we like 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we had my parents' 50th wedding anniversary party at my house.
Yeah, it was good.
And so we had, you know, all my parents' friends and
man, there was a lot of wrinkles in that house.
Man, there's a lot of people, right?
And a lot of old people in there.
I mean, my parents are like in their 60s. No, late 60s.
I'll say your dad's 68, isn't he?
Yeah, late 60s. And so
I can't remember if he's 68 or not. He just had his birthday too.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
But he's 69 now.
69.
But like my grandma and all of her friends, my grandma didn't come because she's got dementia and she doesn't know where she is.
Yeah.
But all of her friends came and they're all like, my grandma's the oldest one in her friend group. My grandma's 93. Her friends are like 87 to 88.
Yeah.
And they all show up and they're like laughing and walking around and kicking it. And like, and they actively talk about how active they are.
Yeah.
And that's why they're in such great health and in such great shape and everything else. Like nobody lives past 90, 95. I mean, yeah, okay, a couple of people live 95, 100 or whatever. But like as a large whole, most people are kicking it around late 70s, right? And so it really just comes down to like quality of life at the end and how rapid the decline, right?
Yeah.
There's a lady that was here. Her name's Bonnie. She is like the most active lady I've ever met in my life for her age. She'll be one of those people that's like active and running and going. And then all of a sudden she'll just like kick from a heart attack.
Yeah.
Like quality of life is exceptional all the way to the last second.
That's what I'm hoping mine is.
Yeah. That's what I'm shooting for too.
Right. Like my grandmother, she's 95 now. She just quit mowing her own yard.
Yeah.
But she's still out there gardens every day. She goes fishing with us. Like,
yeah,
it's going to be the same thing. She's just going to not wake up one day.
Right.
Like, yep, that's it.
And that's, I mean, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Like if you got to go, that's the best way to go.
Like,
right.
Two bourbons and a steak and go to bed.
Hopefully
and just
she
not
was
wake
having
up.
A kick-ass dream whenever it all let go. Roller coaster, or, you know,
oh man,
some family of it, like dreaming of some cool thing. And then all of a sudden,
yep. That'd be, that's the dream.
Give yourself
dream,
a heart attack in your sleep.
That's the dream. Yeah. Just wake up looking around like, where am I?
Where am I? I went to bed in my bed.
What the fuck happened?
Like, I guess it's either got to be in your sleep or in a way that it's just like so quickly.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah.
This is like a
head on collision or lightning strike.
So this is like a side tangent. You know how it's like
lightning strike.
European countries, they kind of like way stricter like gun regulation than we do. So then they have stabbings because that's just what happens. You take away guns, people stab people.
They still find a way.
Like, dude, people are still
like,
violent.
If I were going to get like outed, like I definitely want to go like buy gun than buy like 17 stabs to the gut, you know?
Dude, being stabbed would be a bad way to die.
Dude.
Yeah, it would.
Burning to death would probably be the burning or drowning would probably be the worst.
I'm scared to death of drowning.
Yeah.
Of being suffocated. I'm scared to death of it.
Yeah.
Dying in an old folks home and drowning. Yep. Those are my two only fears. And something happened to Layla. Like I have three fears in this planet. That's it.
Yeah. That'd be bad.
Did you see, not to just change subjects quick, but so my daughter goes to Lee Summit, right?
Mm-hmm.
They had a...
all those threats.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Like they had the threat. So what pisses me off is they send out an email. I shouldn't say it pisses me off. I'm glad they at least communicate something. But it's like, well, we had this vague report. Well, if it was that vague, what are we calling the cop? Well, it was, you know, our building was listed as one of the four in Lee Summit. Okay.
So yeah, there was Summit, like 40 schools listed.
I know.
Like one in Blue Springs, I think, too.
I know.
It's all over.
I know. But the what makes me mad is, You know what makes me mad? The fact that I have to fucking worry about it. Well, that's what makes me fucking mad.
What's bullshit about the whole thing is like, let's close schools and let's let the bad guy
win.
Well,
they didn't close them.
Oh, yeah. Like some of these other schools, like,
oh, did they? They didn't close them,
but they gave you the option to have your kids stay at home and all this stuff. And it's like, that's letting the bad guy win, right? Here's how you fix it. You arm the cops at the school and let nature take its course. Right. And
I mean, I'm not saying way to think about it, but you're right.
Right.
I mean,
if you're going to do everything but arm the cops at school, then the bad guy wins every time. So you got some kid who didn't study for a test, or he just wants to be a little fucking shithead.
He's been bullied and is at the end of what he thinks is his rope, even though it's not.
He goes and grabs as much attention as he can by listing off 15 or 20 schools in the KC metro area and say there's going to be problems or whatever. And now all of a sudden you've impacted thousands of people that wouldn't have to be impacted if the schools just took it upon themselves to handle business the way that everybody in America handles business.
Yeah, I will say this. So I got another email this morning at 6:30. They arrested somebody.
Yeah.
Some kid got arrested.
Yeah, they always find them.
Yeah. So like, what are we doing? But then, you know, I got to thinking about it because of the Georgia thing that just happened, right? Like, they did interviews with teachers about what they did, right? Because they all have these school shooting protocols now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Do they do it with the kids?
No.
So they just know, okay, so they do it on their own, and then when something happens, they're just in charge and know what to do with their group.
Yeah, whoever's in their classroom, you're in charge of them.
So I struggled with this. So I read the first email, right? And my immediate reaction was, I'm going to pick her up from school right now.
Right.
That's just who I am, right? But then calmed yourself down, hey, it's probably not a big deal. You can't live in fear all the time. I tell people that all the time. You can't live in fear, right? But then I get to thinking about, should I tell Layla, sit her down and be like, these things happen.
Right.
She's in sixth grade. She's 11. These things happen. If this happens, you need to do this. Do I transfer that fear to her, or do I just let her live her life?
That's a tough one. For me, I'm an odds guy. And you look at the number of students.
Yeah.
In the school
system.
You're
looking at it analytically.
Yeah. You look at the number of students and you look at the number of shootings, right, of kids that got shot. Like, there's another problem that I have with this whole thing, that school shooting in Georgia. They talk about 4 dead and 30 injured by gunfire. Okay. Well, 30 people weren't shot, right? Like, maybe 9 got shot and the other 21, tripped and fell and skinned their knee running.
Yeah, well, I mean, I get it.
You know what I mean? They don't report the daily injuries on the playground as how dangerous. Like, I guess what I'm saying is, like, don't take a normal playground injury and lump it into the number. Like, the media is not helping by pumping those numbers way up.
No, they're
30 injured. No, it's not 30.
They spread fear.
It's like 9.
Fucking misinformation.
Right.
Like, we all know that.
And the problem is, I sound like it's literally the topic of today's show. Like, I sound like the outcast by having that kind of an opinion on it. Like, well, if they were injured as a byproduct of it, then it does count. Okay, technically it does. Report it better. You know, 30.
God, did you watch my Monday Motivational? It was integrity. Integrity.
Yeah.
You're a journalist.
Right.
Don't be a douche.
Right. Like report it properly. You know, 4 dead, 9 shot.
8 skinned knees.
8 injuries associated with fleeing.
Yeah.
Right. Like, just so that way people don't immediately read the headline and think 30 people got shot.
Because that's what people do.
I know.
Yeah. So,
I know.
But I want to get back to your point. Like, so what did you, was like, what do you, like, you're, Mason's old enough to know and see the news and see what's going on and all that. Like, do you talk with him? Has he ever said anything to you?
No, I don't have those conversations just because I know the odds are so insanely low.
You say odds. So like, just devil's advocate here. The odds are, if that does happen at your school and you've talked to your kid about it, isn't there an increasing in odds of them
being
well prepared
and hiding
in the janitor's closet because they know where, you know, what to do. Like, you can't, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think that's one of those things where as a kid,
I'm
you almost,
hairs, I know that.
Well, yeah. But like, as a kid, you almost can't prepare for it because if you're in a classroom and they're in the other half of the school, you handle that differently than if you're in a classroom and they're in your hallway.
Yeah.
And you handle that differently if you're in a classroom and they're in your classroom.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I just want to tell Layla, like,
hey, if you like what you're hearing on The Void and you want even more info, we just started a mentorship program specifically for trades professionals to start their business or to get their business to an incredibly healthy position. So if you'd like more info, click on the link in the description of this show.
Run if it's close.
Right.
And don't be the slowest person.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, well, even, hide behind the other fat kids.
Like, I don't know this.
It sounds awful, but that's what I want to tell her. Like,
yeah.
She doesn't have any sense of realism or what could actually happen.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I know if I pump her full of that information, she'll be scared to death.
Right.
She'll be scared to death to go to school every day.
And ultimately,
I don't want her to live in fear and, you know, be afraid.
Well, and again, I go analytical with it. And so, like, you look at the odds of, like, okay, how many students were at that school where that happened? Like, you just bring it all the way down to that level. And 4 dead, 30 injured out of how many students? I don't know how many students.
No, I don't know. I'm sure.
But I'm sure there's...
Georgia, it's probably 300.
What high school is it?
I don't know.
Just Google
Georgia school shooting. And then once you find the name of the school, just ask, like, how many students attend that school. But let's just say there's 500 kids at the school. 30 injured out of 500...
Don't make me get my calculator.
Your odds are still in really good positions when you bring it down to the school that it occurred at, right?
Yeah.
But still,
I just don't want to think about that.
Well, then, in addition to all of that, a lot of times, not always, a lot of times these school shootings, the targets are not as random
as we want them to,
as
make
you
them
want
out to be.
Like, it's they're shooting the kid, the group of kids that picked on them, or the teacher they had beef with, or something like that. And so
it's not like Columbine where they were like, "We're going in here and we're just going to kill them all."
Right, and I'm sure that happens. But
unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like that's one of the catastrophes that I feel you can't prepare for, and so you just hope it doesn't happen. And if it does, you hope that all of your other upbringings of your kid fall onto that, right? So, like, both my kids are protectors. It's kind of funny. Grant, my youngest, the first, like, 4 days of school, he saw some kids picking on a special education kid. And Grant walks straight up to him and says, "You guys got to knock this shit off. Like, for one, it's not cool to treat anybody like this, especially this bad kid."
Yeah.
Right? Well, now he got a target put on his back.
Yeah.
From these group of kids that he called out.
I'm going to get him some brass knuckles.
And so now there's this group of kids that wants to beat him up, and they've got this friend they claim he's in a gang.
You know, they all do. He's in middle school.
He's in eighth grade.
A guy in a gang.
Right.
Yeah.
But Grant's all running scared, and it's all because, like, Grant stood up for a kid, right?
Yeah.
But that's how my kids are. They're protectors, and that, you know, they're going to stand up for kids like that.
Yeah.
Mason ran through the same thing. And so, in that case of, like, a school shooting, I have no doubt that my kids would do what they could to protect other kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just in their nature.
They've
seen me go to the rescue of people day in and day out all the time without even thinking about it.
Yeah.
And, like, we'll drive by somebody who gets a flat tire and pulls off the road.
Yeah.
And they'll be like,
out there helping them.
Well, they'll ask me, "Dad, you're going to stop, aren't you?"
Yeah.
Like, they just know that
Dad,
I'm going to stop and help.
Shit to do, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's weird. I wish people would have this conversation with their kids. This is a conversation I had with Layla a long time ago, and we talk about it. There's three types of people in the world, right? There's wolves, there's sheep, and there's sheepdogs.
Yeah.
That's it. What do you want to be?
Lone survivor.
What do you want to be?
Yeah.
Do you want to be looking out for sheep? Do you want to be protecting them against wolves? Do you want to be a bully, or do you want to just be a sheep?
Yeah.
No, you don't want to. She's like, "No, I want to be a sheepdog."
I want to be a sheepdog.
We talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, I wish parents would just have that conversation.
Yeah.
Like, and we're going to wrap this up because I don't want to talk about this the whole fucking show, but, like, that Georgia thing, you know, saw they arrested that guy, kid's dad.
Mm-hmm.
That dude should be put away.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot give a fucking AR.
Yeah.
To a 14-year-old kid. You can't give a pistol to a kid either.
Right.
Like, they're both 21. You know, this whole AR holds 30 rounds, blah, blah, blah. A fucking Glock 19 holds, I think, 19 or 20.
Yeah, and you can change the clip in a half a second.
Yeah, or you can buy an extended clip and holds 30. They're illegal, but you can get them everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, to be honest, if you're going to, like, go into a close combat situation and want to just kill people, a pistol's the way to do it.
Yeah.
But that guy should be going to fucking jail.
Right.
I hope he does. I hope they fucking kill his ass.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing, dude?
Right.
Those guys, those parents are the problem. And I love how I hear this all the time. Well, I just didn't know that Johnny B. whatever was just bad. Well, it's because you're an absentee parent and you're a piece of shit.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, no,
that's fucking
clue.
On you.
Yep.
First off, you probably shouldn't have had kids. Second, they should probably been taken from you.
Right.
Like, what are you doing, man?
Did you figure out how many kids go to that school?
It's 1,894.
Good God, that's a big school.
Okay, so 30 out of 1,000.
Was it a high school? I think it was a high school, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, that makes more sense.
The only thing is like...
So that's like Blue Springs South, because their graduating class when we went was like 350.
Right.
So 300 times 4.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, those are pretty astonishing odds. Like, even in that school, those are like... If you attended the school, the odds of you...
I tell Layla, don't bully kids.
Right.
Dude, like, you don't want to be on the receiving end, whether it's a punch in the mouth or something worse.
Yeah.
Not that I've said that to her, but, like, that's what I want to say to her.
Well, and the term bully gets thrown around a lot, too. Like, a lot of people... Like, I get called a bully a lot.
You are a bully.
Because I hold people accountable.
Yeah.
Right? And
that's what I mean, but that's not really what a bully is.
If you upset somebody these days, you get labeled as a bully. And it's like, no, a bully is intentionally picking on somebody that they've identified as weaker and that they can get them to do things for like out of fear that pain will result if you don't. That's a bully.
Yeah.
Right.
Or picking on someone to the point where they like question their own mortality.
Right.
Like, what if,
right.
That's a bully.
A football coach is not a bully because he asked you to run ladders on the field. A football coach is not a bully because he said, get your fucking head out of your ass and run the play. You know it.
Yeah.
Or study harder.
Oh my God, he said, get my head out of my ass.
Right.
Yeah, you probably should.
Right.
Like, what?
That's not a bully.
No.
Right?
It's probably because
Mitch tells me that all the time. Get your head out of your ass.
It's probably like an age thing too, as far as like, I'm looking at the precedent set by like, okay, if your child does something, the parents could be held accountable. I mean, at a certain age, it probably has to be done away with because it's like, you get a speeding or say if like Mason went out and got in trouble, it's like, should we then just start arresting everyone's parents?
Well, intentionality would play a big role in that.
If
that person's intentionally doing something
like
because,
case by case.
Yeah, it would be case by case.
You're enabling
like
your child to go murder people.
Like
that's a different standard than, oh, you mean my kid went speeding down the road and caused a crash like all kids do?
Well, like
because they're not responsible.
They're idiots. Like
right.
now if it came out to light that Mitch gave Mason 4 beers and said go drive the car around,
right.
Mitch should be going to jail.
Or if it came to light that I put, you know, nitrous oxide on his car and said go see how fast you can get it going down this neighborhood road. That'd be different.
I mean, that's a gray line.
Like,
I have him. Yeah. He's like,
that's the only thing that's just kind of tricky about that. Like, it would have to be pretty evident that it was like, you're suiting your kid up to go do this.
Because if you are intentionally or unintentionally setting them up to injure others, like that's obvious.
Yeah.
You know, that's obvious.
And then there would have to be probably an age limit too.
Well, like, and if your kid breaks into your gun safe and takes a gun, like that's not intentionality. You know, like those parents shouldn't be at fault.
Yeah.
Like you know,
like you'd definitely be a case by case rather than saying
you'd have to.
Because then otherwise
you're
going to
have blanket
like
coverage.
Parents everywhere being going to jail for their kids.
Well, and
maybe some of them should.
Maybe.
The other thing that you see a lot of now is either completely absentee parents or way overbearing parents, right? And so like, real life examples, my kids were playing in the creek. There's a creek that runs through the middle of our neighborhood. My kids were down there playing in the creek. And
it's a stormwater refuge, but yes.
Yeah. And some,
it's an oil
some
filled.
Crotchety old lady, like for all the yards that back up to the creek, there is the neighborhood owns that green space that is the creek.
Some
of these yards aren't very steep and the neighborhood's perfectly okay if people want to mow beyond their property line.
Yeah, to make it look nice.
And it makes it look nice.
Yeah.
Well, these people assume that if they mow it, they own it. And it's still green space, right?
Yeah.
And so the kids are playing down in the creek and everything else, and this crotchety old lady comes out and she says, you guys can't be here, you're trespassing, you have to go home. And Grant, you know, doesn't give her any lip. And he's like, my dad says I can play here. And she says, this is private property. You can't play here, blah, blah, blah. And Grant's like, my dad says it's okay.
She's also the same old lady that's like, these kids need to get outside. They're inside too much.
Well, so Grant calls me from his he now has a cell phone. So he calls me.
Oh,
and he's
this
like,
is recent.
Yeah, this is just this weekend.
I thought you meant this was like old.
No, this was just this weekend. And I'm like, Grant says, hey, this lady says we're, going to call the cops on us because we're
Dad's
playing in the
out
creek.
There in 30 seconds.
No, I don't even get involved. I'm like, yeah, let her, like, you're fine. Let her call the cops if she wants to call the cops. And when the cops show up, the cops will tell her she's an idiot. Like, little boys should be able to play in creeks, especially in creeks inside their own neighborhood that they reside in, right?
Yeah.
And, of course, no cops ever showed up or anything else. But Grant gets home. I get home later, and he's asking about it. Like, would the cops have really shown up? I'm like, yeah, but just because the cops show up doesn't mean anything. Like, the cops show up because somebody called.
Run?
No. I'm like, you just tell the cops where you live and that this is the green space in the neighborhood, and the cops would be like, oh, yeah, play away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And tell the old lady, like, hey, come on. They're just kids playing.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny. There was a post on the community page, the Blue Springs community page, and I usually don't get into these, but this happened like the day. No, this happened like the day after that lady was chastising Grant for playing outside.
Struck a chord,
there,
did it?
There was like an Uber driver or a Grubhub driver or something, some delivery driver of some capacity was pulling into a neighborhood, and the way she's got her post all dramatized. I had to slam on my brakes because kids were running into the road, and you parents need to do a better job of teaching your kid the rules of the road and blah, blah, blah.
No, that's what neighborhoods are for,
And you need to be out there watching your parents and watching your kids and all this. And I'm like, and of course, here come all the sandbagging comments. It happens in my neighborhood too. Kids are everywhere. It's going to take a kid getting hurt before somebody does something, blah, blah, blah.
I just would have been like, shut up, Karen.
And I said, here, unpopular opinion. They're children. They don't think past their nose. Like, you're the adult, right? You're the licensed driver.
Yeah.
You're into a neighborhood where you know kids are. Keep your head on a swivel, slow down, and be ready.
Maybe set your phone down, bitch.
Right. Like,
that drives me insane.
Of course, I get attacked, and this is on the subject of what we're talking about today, about being exceptional. I get attacked and accused of being an absentee parent and a horrible parent and all this stuff. And I'm like, guys, what's the other argument? The other argument is kids need to put the tablets down and get outside and play.
Yeah.
Well, guess what happens when they go outside and play? They run across the road after a ball.
Yeah.
They run across the road without looking because they're fucking seven.
Should I put
and that's what they do.
Should I put a leash on them? Should they all have leashes till they're 18?
Right.
I just walk them like they're a dog.
And then all these comments are like, well, then they need to learn the rules of the road. You know what?
That's
16 year old
drive.
Yeah. They don't even let a 15 year old drive a car without a parent. Like, what makes you think a seven-year-old is going to comprehend and understand and follow the rules of the road?
Get over
yourself.
I don't want to get onto a whole other thing, but this is why I moved out of my neighborhood.
Right.
Because I could sense it coming. Like, I don't even have an HOA, and I was like, you know what? I need to be in the sticks, or my kid's going to do something stupid, and I'm going to stab Jeff down the road.
Right.
Like, something's going to happen, and I was like, I got to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like, you have way more, how do I say this? I don't want to say tact because that's not the right word, because you'll tell someone to get fucked. You have more patience with not stabbing people in the neck than I do.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I know my limits. I had to go.
Yeah.
Mitch can handle it. He can walk out there and be like, you know what, Karen? Just shut your ass.
Yeah.
And then he's totally fine with just turning around and walking back home. Yeah. I am not.
Yeah.
That is not in my level. This is respect.
Yeah.
I'm giving you props here. I don't know how you do it.
Remind me later. We'll get started on this topic, but remind
Why?
Me later.
We can't talk about it on the show?
No, we will.
You
we
go
will.
To jail?
I just want to get started on the topic first. But
it has been half an hour of nothing.
Last Thursday night, I told a cop to fuck off straight to his face. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that later.
Because I did that like 6 months ago down my street. Okay, I like it. I like it.
Today's topic is about being exceptional. And so, like, a lot of times when you want to start your business, everybody has these grand visions of like, we are going to be the best. We're going to provide the best service at the best pricing and be the best employer. And we're going to have the most reviews, and everything we do is going to be exceptional.
We're going to poop gold.
Yes. Yes. We're going to shit gold in gold toilets with liquid gold water flushing it down.
Speaking of your post today about pooping.
Yeah, that was funny.
Was the most random weird thing I've seen in a long time.
That was pretty good.
That made me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
If you listen to this show, Look, find Mitch Smedley on Facebook and look at his post from today.
Scroll back to the post that I posted on September 10th.
It was good. Oh yeah, I forgot that these aren't live.
I shared it.
It was really good.
I shared our business post. I laughed out loud.
There was no Upper Decker post.
I know. But there was a lot missing. There was also no gas station post either, where they put their hand on the toilet and their feet on the wall and they shit on the ceiling. That wasn't on there either.
There was a lot of good ones on there, though.
Yeah.
The backwards one, I was like, oh, never seen that before.
Yeah.
Toilet
continue, tank makes
sir.
A good table.
Sorry. Yeah. I laughed out loud.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every $10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Yeah.
What people would do at QuickTrip, they would get like their needles and they would like tape them like underneath the seat of the toilet.
Really?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Yeah, the seat of the toilet.
That's a really random thing to bring up.
Well, you have to be careful too because they would also hide their needles like in the vents.
That's why I never put them in public.
So they can come back and use it. Like I just learned my lesson because
they
using...
don't want to have them on them.
Yeah.
They just want to keep their drug stash in the QuickTrip bathroom.
Yeah, the drugs are on them, but the hypodermics are.
Yeah, so I was
weird. Weird.
He hit the vent with the broom and boom. All it comes like a needle.
What happens if it's like, boom?
You got to go to the doctor.
Freak out, like sticks you in the forearm.
I've been through that protocol. When I cut my hand in raw sewage.
I've done that.
I had to go through the bloodborne pathogen protocol for 6 months. Blood testing, routine blood testing,
everything. I
didn't do anything.
I just neosporined it, washed it out, covered it up, and then was like hoping to God I'd be fine. And
well,
then later
to
find
be,
out.
To be fair, it was your needle.
No, it was digging sewer niches. Never share needles, kids.
And then all the time you'd find like beer cans or alcohol cans too. That happened
right.
A lot. You know, like on the other side of the toilet.
That just used to be the bed of my truck. Just
yeah.
Beer cans in there.
So exceptional by definition is you are the exception to the standardized rule, right? Most of America is the standardized rule. And so if you're going to do things bigger and better than anybody else has ever done before, you are by definition the exception, okay? Well, how do people treat the exceptions to the rule? You got a whole line of 100 people standing in line and you got one guy that's over here.
Yeah.
He's the outcast. What are you doing, you idiot?
Get in line, dipshit.
Get in line, dummy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what are you, stupid?
Yeah.
Like, that's how they treat the exceptions to the rule.
You look back and you go, no, I'm cutting. I'm not waiting in that fucking line.
Right.
We'll find my buddy.
Right. 2 years ago when Danielle and I were in Cancun, we rented these stupid little speedboats. They're called speedboats.
Oh, this is a great story.
Yeah.
I haven't heard this in a while.
We rented these stupid little speedboats and we had to drive through the mangrove and then through an open bay out to the ocean. And we were going to like snorkel once we got out to the ocean. And when we get to this open bay is like miles wide. And I'm not shitting you. It's like a big circle that's probably 2 miles
in diameter.
It's
a giant lake.
Yeah. And
it's Blue Springs Lake. If you've noticed,
it's even bigger than that.
Blue Springs Lake sucks.
Yeah, this place was massive. And they tell everybody, stay in a straight line as we're going across here. And I mean, I was kind of in the straight line. I wasn't like dead center in the wake of the boat in front of me.
You were just to the...
I was just outside their wake, but I'm still going in the same direction they are and everything else. I just wanted an unobstructed view of what... Like,
yeah.
I paid all this
see.
Money. I wanted to see. I didn't want to stare at the boat behind me or in front of me, right?
That's why I don't do those anymore.
They stop the whole thing, bring it all to a halt, and the leader of the whole thing circles around and comes to me and, like, starts chewing me out.
Let me ask you something. I've heard this before.
Yep.
Was it a white guy?
It was a Mexican guy.
Mexicans are usually laid back.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a big corporate thing, but...
Okay, continue. I'm sorry.
I mean,
he
like yells at me in front of the whole thing. If you can't stay in line, you're going to have to go back and you're going to ruin the day for everybody. And his actions, the way that he handled it by stopping everybody and all of this stuff, like now it made the entire group like hate me.
Yeah.
Because I slowed everything down and all this. And I'm like, I just want it. Like, I'm literally like, I'm in this same line. I'm just like 15 feet to the right.
Yeah. Just
because I
wanted
to see.
I couldn't see, man.
Right. And he was like, we're not having it. You stay inside the wake of the boat in front of you and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, well, so now you tell me that. Like, you didn't say that before when you said stay in a straight line as we come across the open water. You didn't say stay inside the wake. You just said, we're all going to go across the open water in a line. And I just chose to make the line a little crooked, right?
Yeah.
But there is the exception, right? You're the outcast. You stand out.
Yeah.
And finally, the guy yelled at me. So he brought it up again. Later on, he had a problem with how fast or slow I was going.
How are you going faster or slower? You're in a line.
Right. Yeah, I can't go faster than the guy in front of me, and I can't go slower, right? And so he brought it up again, and I just looked at him dead in the eye, and I said, look, dude, I don't want to be herded like a freaking cow. I didn't pay all this money to be herded like a cow. And he kept back talking at me, so I mooed at him. Moo! Danielle was so embarrassed.
Of course she was. She's married. You'd think she'd fucking be used to it.
Yeah, you'd think. But you, by definition, if you are going to do things that nobody has done before, you are the exception to the rule, right? And I'm not going to say that that behavior on the boat thing was exceptional. I'm just using it as like, that's how the outcast is treated, right?
A lot of times, yeah.
And so if you think about things in a different way, or you sleep at a different time, like, I don't buy into this whole, like, to be successful, you got to get up at 4 a.m. and all of this shit.
Oh my God.
Like,
unbelievable.
The Jocko thing.
No, I'm just because you used to.
Well, no, I used to get up at 4 a.m., but I never tried to tell other people they had
the
to.
The only way you can be successful is to be up at 4.
Yeah, I never tried to push that on anybody else. I just did that because for me, that was what worked at the time, right?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people out there that are like, you're a loser unless you get up at 4 or 5 in the morning, and you're a loser unless you're out of the gym by 6 a.m. and all this shit. Guess what? People have different sleeping cycles.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that want to work all night long and then sleep until noon, and they're more successful than I am. Why? Because they're doing what works for them, right? They're the exception to the rule. Yeah. They're exceptional, right?
Everyone does it different.
Right.
Man, like, you brought this up not too long ago, like, just your sleep cycle. Like, once you stopped getting up at 4 and getting up at like 5:30 or 6.
Yeah.
Like, just the amount of energy that you had.
Yep.
Like, people don't realize that their sleep cycles for the majority of us are until about 7 a.m. Like, you know, 11 midnight to 7 a.m. That's when most of us get our best sleep.
Yeah.
Like, this whole, got to be up at 5:30 to make it. No, I don't. I'm not insane. Speaking of which, they say that people that do that, they go to bed 9, 10 and get up at 4 and they get 6 hours of sleep, also get dementia like at an extremely high rate.
Yeah.
So maybe sleep a little bit, you fuckers.
Yeah. Like, for me, I used to sleep 6 hours a night, and if I could get 6, I was good. And my productivity increased whenever I started making sure I got 8 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Like, so I gave up 2 hours of the day, but I was so focused and had so much more energy, mental and physical, that I was actually able to get more done each day by sleeping 2 more hours.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
I'm like, also more pleasant around my wife and kids. I'm less crotchety. Irritable. Right.
Yeah, I think we both noticed whenever you switch, like, you...
Oh, yeah, you could tell. Your energy level was higher.
Well, not energy, but you felt like more like at ease, like not like tense. Yeah. That makes sense.
I didn't notice that, but I noticed you were...
Less on edge, for sure.
You were less wiry.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, more...
Take anybody who's sleep deprived. They're crotchety.
Yeah.
They're on edge.
I like the about 10 or 11 to 7.
Yep.
Fits good.
Yeah.
Gives me time to wind down at night because it's a little later. And as long as I'm up, and I say 7, it's really like 6:30. I'm laying there for a half hour probably, getting my brain going and all that. But like that works for me the best.
Yeah.
So I like that 11. Like, I'll do like 10 or 11 to 7. Like, just...
Yeah. Yeah, for me, it's like 9 or 10 to 6.
Yeah.
Same thing, just an hour offset, right? And mainly, like, our kids go to bed at 9. So I go to bed at 9. And usually by 10 o'clock, I'm asleep.
Yeah, we've completely gotten off topic. But, like, I will say this. Like, the sun, it messes with me bad. Like, when the sun is up, I'm up.
Yeah.
Like, right now, the sun's not getting up till about 7:15. I'm like, man, what the hell?
Right.
You know?
Mm. Yeah. Sun cycle doesn't affect me until we're way off, right? Like, daylight savings time will affect me a little bit.
That's so... I hate that shit.
But yeah, it's dumb. But like, as you're being exceptional...
Get us back on task.
You are going to have unpopular opinions. Get used to it. Like, look forward to it. Because if you want to be exceptional, you will be misunderstood. Look forward to people who do not agree with you. look forward to people that do not think you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Right. Like, again, our neighborhood, we've had a whole bunch of like, I'm going to say lightweight prowlers walking through our neighborhood. They're just lifting door handles. They're not breaking into anything.
My keys are in the truck, dude.
Yeah.
It's the middle. You think my
this is all in the middle of the night.
Damn it. That's how my last truck got stolen.
These guys are walking and driving through the neighborhood in the middle of the night, and they're lifting door handles. And I mean, every week something's missing out of somebody's car in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it's the same story every time. Car parked in the driveway, doors unlocked, and they just took what they could quickly and quietly and left.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like people,
Mason and Grant.
Well, it's like, guys, how long, like every car or every house in my neighborhood has at least a 2-car garage. Most of them have a 3-car garage. Some of them even have a 4-car garage. But the problem is their life is so disorganized. Their garages are packed full of so much horse shit. They can't get their car in the garage.
Yeah.
And so then they try to make it a community problem that they don't use the garage that they paid damn good money for, and they don't lock their doors.
Or just lock you're in the driveway. And this is how my truck got stolen. I parked it outside with the doors unlocked with the keys in it.
With the keys in it. Right.
Yeah. Lock your shit. If you're too lazy before you go to bed to go outside and lock your car.
Right.
Like, there's no hope for you.
Yeah.
And I did it.
We left our garage door open twice that I'm aware of, and both times shit got taken out of our garage. And so I added sensors to our garage doors so that when we set our alarm at night, we're notified now that the garage doors are also closed.
I got to get an alarm.
And it was just a simple mistake.
I got cameras and guns, but no alarm.
Right. This was just a simple mistake. Like, you know, people accidentally leave their doors unlocked. People accidentally leave their garage doors open. Like, you know, our main neighbors will message us. We'll message neighbors. Hey, your door's open. You know, all that kind of stuff. But like,
hey, dude, shut your shit.
I'm not condoning criminals. Like, thievery is still blatantly wrong. But like,
it doesn't take
much to protect yourself. My neighbor, 2 doors down. He got, right when they moved in, he got a 4-post lift installed in his garage, in his third car garage. And he's over there bragging about it as they're anchoring it into the concrete. He's like, I see you work on cars. If you ever need a lift, I got one.
And you're like, how do I even walk around this thing?
It was a week later and he had so much shit packed in his garage.
Couldn't use his lift.
That lift is the most expensive shelf ever. That lift has never seen a car. He has cars, like, he'll put cars on jacks and on blocks in the driveway and work on them.
Because he can't use his lift?
Because he can't use his lift. And I'm like, boy, it sure would be nice if you had a lift.
Wow.
Pull your head out of your ass.
I can't go back to not having a garage. Like, ever since I started using ours, I'm like, it's so great.
Yeah. Right.
It's just a little peace of mind when you're asleep, you know?
Well, too, it's like when you, I think I did have to park outside once recently. I can't remember what it for, but I got back in the car and it was like 1,000 degrees in my car. I'm like, this is what it was like parking outside.
Well, hey, what's that guy's, give me his address and stuff. I'm gonna see if he wants to sell a lift.
He's 2 doors down.
I know. I'd love to have a lift.
So, but all of that thievery has been going on in our neighborhood. And there was just a post about it, I think this morning or last night. You know, everyone loves to showcase their Ring. Like, this is the problem I have with security cameras.
We're getting way off topic, but
it's still being exceptional.
Ish.
You have all these security cameras. Cool. You got a photo of the guy that stole your shit.
Yeah.
That doesn't do anything.
No.
Nothing.
No, you need one that wakes you up at night, shows the live camera view, and you go outside and deal with it.
You need one with a radio controlled gun on it, and you can just shoot them right there from the screen.
I love my cameras. Like,
I'm just saying,
when my shit goes off at home, my phone goes boop boop, and I can hit watch live view.
Right,
and I can literally see what's happening live.
Here's the non exceptional standard for that. I don't have a Ring camera.
Mine aren't rings.
I know. I don't
just go out there, fucking blast a motherfucker. You know,
yeah. His alarm had a trigger on it.
Yeah,
old school.
So. A lot of our employees have a Ring. A lot of customers have a Ring. Well, now with so many deliveries that come to your door every freaking day and so many solicitors.
Yeah, they just
close out
the notifications.
Yep. Oh, it's just my Ring going off. Oh, it's just my Ring. Well, what the fuck is a notification doing if you've like literally training yourself to ignore it?
I love how people will ignore that. But then every time that Facebook thing goes off or that Instagram thing goes off, gotta see what's going on.
Gotta open it.
Up,
right.
Up, up, up,
right.
Up. Stop.
Right. And so like all my neighbors are all posting pictures of this guy lifting door handles, and here's the car that he got
out
of. Did
you put on there, maybe you shouldn't have quieted all your notifications?
No, I just said parking in the garage for the win. It's literally that fucking simple.
You sandbagging son of a bitch.
Well, this doesn't make it safe in the neighborhood, and they still shouldn't be stealing and blah,
so
blah.
You're right.
But
so like, go back to your original point. Like, what do they want to do? They just keep saying it's not safe in the neighborhood. Like, what do you guys want to do?
They just want to live in victimhood forever, not clean out their garage, leave their cars outside unlocked, and then be prepared to bitch when their car gets broken
into.
Maybe
all motherfuckers need to have garage sales.
Right.
That's what you should say.
Yeah. Now,
maybe you need to get rid of some of your shit.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information in a one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
I can say all of that while saying that I'm perfectly okay hanging out in the neighborhood for some shady activity and go pop a cap in a motherfucker. Like I'm not saying like let thieves win by parking in the garage. I'm just saying you have to do what it takes to protect yourself while also reducing the crime rate.
Two things can be true at once.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as, man, I'm out of shape and I eat too much and I don't eat right. And okay, so what are we doing about it?
Yeah. Diets still work for me.
Yeah, like, okay, so why are you bringing it up?
Yeah.
Get off your ass.
I just want something to complain about, right?
This is how we started the show. I literally have been complaining because I'm out of shape and like feel like shit.
Right.
Like, I immediately, when I recognized that there was a problem, let's deal with the problem.
Yeah, address
it. Let's not complain. Let's find a solution and move on.
Punch that problem in the mouth.
This is like Jose's call from last night.
Yeah.
Jose Reyes. Portillo.
But it's like the practicality of, okay, like while we're figuring that out, like, you know, get in your garage.
Yeah. Like, well, yeah. And so like, let's talk, like, I'm going to bring it back to like my own, because I don't want to be one of those podcast people that talks about shit but doesn't live it, right? So let's talk about
First off, you and I live everything we talk about a daily basis. Like the exceptionality thing, just like to get back on topic, like, I didn't notice it really at first. Like when I was doing my own thing, my own business and living, you know me, I just live life how I want to. I don't really care what anyone else thinks, right?
Right.
I give no F's about anything. I never really noticed it that or thought about it as I was just living differently.
Right.
And it was preparing me for later.
Right.
Or that when I had success, people were like, the most common thing is, dude, what are you fucking doing?
Right.
I'm doing what I want. Like I never noticed.
Yeah.
Like I just did what I want, lived how I want, and ran against the grain. I didn't care. People would say shit, didn't bother me. I didn't give a fuck. But now looking back, like having this conversation, it's like, oh yeah, I was just different.
Right.
I was just doing things differently.
Yeah.
And I didn't care.
Well, and it's not that you didn't care. It's the opposite. It's that you cared so greatly that you're willing to go against the grain and do things differently.
Well, cared what they thought.
Right. You didn't care about their opinion.
Yeah. Their opinion. That's what I meant.
Yeah,
but going against the grain, roll.
Yeah, the fastest way to mediocrity in today's world is to care what other people think about you, right?
Yeah.
Like, you die tomorrow, you will be missed by your family, your employees will care more about what's going to happen to their job than how to handle your funeral. And I'm not being disrespectful, rightfully so. They should.
That's realism.
Right.
Realism.
Right. And I'm not bashing my employees. Like, they should rightfully do that. Now, if my employees are listening to this, we're well covered. We have a $3 million corporate life insurance policy that dumps $3 million into the business when I die.
That's true.
To make sure that it stays running.
Well, let's be transparent with that. Guys, if Mitch dies, who do you think his wife is calling to be your new boss for a little while? It's probably me.
Yeah.
I will say, I've only met Jonathan and Spencer, I think.
You met Anthony, too.
No, Anthony and Spencer, not Jonathan.
Okay.
I confused those two
John
guys.
And I missed our opportunity because he was on top of a van Friday.
Austin, that means I will be, I would be your boss if something yeah. happens to yeah. Mitch.
Well, John, of course.
He's gone.
I can't, yeah, fired, motherfucker.
John was saying all the quiet
I'll give
parts.
You a severance.
Well, John was saying all the quiet parts out loud. He's like, if, can I have the boat whenever you, if you fall off? And
oh, yeah, the boys will be getting that. Yeah. She'll keep that. She's got to rake in a new dude. She's going to have that
yeah.
boat.
Yeah, there you go. Need a driver.
But you're right. Like, you're right.
Yeah. As you're growing up, so like you've always been a saver, right? And you've always been an investor. You were the exception. Most people don't save at the level you saved.
No.
And now it's just normal for you, right? So now you have this nice nest egg. And most yeah. people are like, damn, how did he pull that off? Well, he's been the exception for like 25 fucking years.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, for as long as you've been producing an income, you've been saving.
Yeah. You should have seen Janine's.
And investing.
The look on her face in 08 when the market crashed. And I said, we're doubling down on what you're putting yeah. in there. And she
it's
was like,
it's time to buy. Everything's like, on sale.
She was like, what do you mean? I was like, we're putting everything we can in there.
Yeah.
It's everything we can. We're putting in there right now.
Yeah.
We literally started like the week after that shit hit the fan. Like we were putting money in there and it was still dropping.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't worry. It's going to keep going. Keep going. And
sale just got better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only good thing about Kamala. If she gets elected,
right,
there'll be another fire sale.
Yeah.
Like, hello.
Yeah, start buying.
Start buying.
Right. Yeah.
And then if the country ever pulls their head out of their ass, actually, it doesn't even matter because you're buying at such a cheap rate that even if it slowly goes back up,
right,
you're still good.
You're still good.
That's another topic for another day.
Buy low, so high.
So some realisms about, like, exceptional things that we do in our company. We decided to do the Family First program, right? Where we donate free plumbing repairs to people that need them. And we've inspired a lot of other people to try it. And we hear a lot about people that do it. And unfortunately, we hear a lot about people that try it once or twice and then give it up.
Yeah.
I couldn't afford to give up the time. I couldn't afford to make the sacrifice. I got taken advantage of by a person that didn't actually need the help. And they were just using us for the free work and all this shit. Well, guess what? If you're going to do something exceptional, you're going to have extraordinary shit like that happen against you. It's fine. Like,
yeah. It's like, the nature of the beast.
That's right. And
it just is what it is.
That's why we called it Family First. And that's why we do it on the first day of the month. Because if we wait until the last day of the month, if we have the time, if we have the money, if we find the people, if you put that many ifs in line, it will never happen.
Yeah.
So we do it on the first. We literally start the month in the hole on the P&L because we're doing work for free and not getting paid for it. And I'm still paying my guys to do this work, yeah. right? That's an exceptional thing that we do that has put our business at a different level than most. Other things, 1,000 Google reviews inside of 4 years. There's companies that have done more.
Yeah.
There's significant amounts of companies that have been in business 4 years and they don't even have 100 Google reviews.
Yeah.
Right? It takes exceptional planning and exceptional processes and exceptional effort
get those. It takes exceptional dedication.
Right.
Like the problem with things like that, and I'm using it just as an example, is it's like when you save a penny, one Google review, who cares?
Right.
No, it's the fact that you have done it every day, four times a day.
Right.
For a year.
Well,
it's the same thing as saving.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit at a time.
Yeah.
Okay. You're not just going to hit the lottery. You got to just work at it. Okay?
Right.
You work at it. Work at it. Beat every customer to death for it.
Right.
Next thing you know, 2 years has gone by and you got 1,000.
Yeah.
Three years.
And the other side of it too is like we had plenty of challenges. I mean, we would wake up and Google's removed hundreds of reviews overnight. And we got to go battle for those.
Yeah.
We tried a new technology feature that we even talked about on this show and then later found out.
We're talking about the cards.
Yeah, the tap cards with the AI cards. Replies.
Yeah.
We later found out that Google, well, we did those for like 3 months, but 2 months into that, Google had a rule change where they no longer liked AI replies.
Yeah, it wasn't the cards. It was
And they started just pulling reviews left and right. And here we are charging for 1,000 and we would get 5 reviews in a day and Google would pull down 7 or 8.
It's only funny because it's not me. That had to be a frustrating issue.
Oh, it was very frustrating. But we were dedicated to have 1,000 Google reviews in 4 years and we pulled it off because we had exceptional standards, right?
Yeah.
Was it easy? God, no, it wasn't easy. If it was easy, everybody would have 1,000 Google reviews. But that's another area where we are exceptional in that area, right? And these are very real things that every business is going to share in that. If you want to be like another area where we're exceptional is the level of experience that we have amongst the team. We have 6 plumbers on staff and we have 91 years of experience between the 6 of us. That's over 15 years of experience per plumber. There's not another company in the metro, probably not another company that has a size like you could be a one-man shop with 30 years of experience and be like, I got you beat,
yeah.
Right? You could be a two-man shop where each of you have 20 years of experience and be like, I got you beat.
Yeah.
But try having 6 plumbers on staff and have 91 years of experience between the 6 of you. And one of my guys, self-admittedly, one of my guys only has 1 year of experience. I hired him as an installer, and he all of his experience is with us, okay? You take him out of the mix, and now we have 90 years of experience between 5 plumbers.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm even tanking my own exceptional stat by having that guy on there, but it's real.
Yeah.
And it's authentic and it's transparent, right?
Speaking of guys, am I getting hired for the end of the week?
No.
Next week? No.
We don't need that anymore, actually.
You know what?
So,
God damn it.
My guy that was going to take on vacation, he decided to forego the vacation because he lacks money.
So, I think you mean he needs money.
That could be that, too. But as you have a drive to be exceptional, be ready to be misunderstood. Be ready to have your opinions not land well among the masses.
Yeah. You're going to hear a lot of, what are you doing? Why are you doing that?
Yeah. Be ready
that
to be called.
Doesn't make any sense.
Be ready to be called a bully when you're holding people accountable, because accountability seems very threatening to the undisciplined.
Yeah.
Accountability feels like an attack to the undisciplined.
When you say to a general contractor, you owe me money and I'm not doing any work until you pay me.
Right.
Like, they're going to be offended.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Right.
You got to get paid, man.
Yeah. We hear that all too often where guys get too deep into contractors and the contractors decide not to pay them. And now the guys have no money.
Yeah.
And it's like, you weren't exceptional. You were the average. You were mediocre. You were every other contractor out there that lets a GC string them along.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to be creative.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to do that work. You pay me for the last job I did, I will. You get that check, you cash that check, you tell them to fuck off.
Right.
Like it's, yeah. Thanks, Jose, for the material for the podcast. Right. I know he listens. I love Jose. He's a good dude.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a contractor out there that owes him $6,000.
16.
16 grand.
16 grand.
And he's...
One's 10, one's 6.
He's probably not going to see it.
I think he's going to get it.
Maybe. We'll see.
I think he's going
to
get it.
I hope he does.
I do,
but,
too.
But don't... Like, the mediocre play there is the guy pays you, and then you go right back to working for him. The exceptional play there is you learn your lesson... And if the guy didn't want to pay you this, he's likely to not do it again in the future. And so you learn the lesson and you tell him thanks, but no thanks on any future offers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the macho move there is tell him you're not doing anything till you get paid. You get paid, right? And then don't do any work like with any, like, I'm done. Where's my check?
Yeah.
Like, that's the only way you're doing work anymore for that person.
Prepay.
And then... Or prepay.
Right.
And then as you find other contractors, when they call you and say, hey, I'm expecting you over there to do this for me, you're like, nah, I'm good.
Right.
Nah, but I'm good. I got someone else to replace you.
Can
Sorry.
You?
Fuck you.
The GCs do this. Realtors do this where they want to pay you after completion. Realtors love to try to pay you with a check at closing, right?
Man.
And they turn you into the bank.
I feel like we bash... Realtors on here a lot.
Well, we
because
earn it.
Most of them are pieces of shit.
90% of realtors are the most disrespectful, untrusting people out there.
Yeah.
10% are freaking amazing, right?
Yeah.
But the problem is, it's the 90% that give realtors a bad name.
Yeah.
I got a buddy of mine that's a realtor. I go to lunch with him at least once a month.
Choke him to death.
He has work that he needs done on a house he's selling.
I love when they act like their job's hard. Like, I've done so much work and I did all this and I got 30 grand. You didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Right.
You don't know how hard it is. No, you don't know how hard it is.
So this buddy of mine that's a realtor, he needs like $500 in work done. And he's told me up front, he's like, unfortunately, nobody has any money to pay this. All their money is in the equity of the house. So we don't have a choice but to pay you at closing. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have you do the work literally the day before we close. And so instead of stringing and doing the work now and then closing in like 45 days and stringing you along for 45 days on payment, you're going to do the work and then I'll drop a check by the next day. And I'm like, cool.
Yeah.
Finally, an honest, transparent, caring realtor
Yeah.
that understands I ain't a bank. I don't loan you repair money for 45 days.
Yeah.
Right? Call your bank if you need a loan.
We talk about this like jokingly, half jokingly with some of the guys, like you need to start implementing interest rates into your like signed contracts before you do work.
Yeah.
Like, those are the situations where you need to be doing that.
Yeah.
Like, dude, that's another topic for another day, but I mean,
my accounts receivable is $800 right now.
Yeah.
So for those that don't know what accounts receivable is, that means that's money that's coming my way. Work that I've done where people haven't yet paid. That work was done months ago. It's all with one contractor who loves to slow play us. Hey,
give me their address and information. I got nothing to do, man. I'm looking for shit to do, man.
This guy loves to slow play us. So he currently owes me $800. He asks us to go bid another job for him. I'll bid a job, right?
Yeah.
So
you'll take bids.
We go bid the job. It's about $7,000 in work. And he calls me up.
15 grand, bitch.
He calls me up and he's like, hey, my agreement with this customer is net 45. So if you are cool with that, we'll do the work and then you'll pay me net 45.
Nope.
And I literally just told him flat out. I'm like, dude, my agreement on the last two jobs we did with you were payment due upon completion. Those were months ago and you haven't paid those bills. And that was only 800. Where do you think I come up with any trust that you're going to pay me $7,000 in 45 days?
Yeah. What did he say?
And then he's like, well, it's just how it works and blah, blah,
no,
blah. And I'm like, no,
works.
It ain't how it works. That may be how it works for companies that you're using that are going to go out of business, but it's not how it works in my company. I said, you're a GC. You have literally zero risk.
I fucking love it.
Zero. You're going to take my $7,000 bill. You're going to mark it up by 20%, which means you're going to hand them a bill for $8,500.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's math.
They're going to pay you $8,500. And then you're going to, once you've been paid, like under your guide, like under what you want to do, you don't want to pay me until you have their $8,500 check in hand.
Yeah.
And then you hand me the check for $7,000 and then you pocket the 15 for making a phone call and doing nothing.
Yeah.
Zero risk.
No risk.
Right?
Pay me my seven.
I said, here, like, I'm not taking the deal because I have all the risk in the game. I got to risk my guys on the job, physical injury, everything that it takes to show up on
work
the job,
comp, money out of pocket, just
driving
to show
trucks
up,
to the job,
parts,
wear and tear on the vehicles, like everything. Right.
Yeah.
And then I got to pay for the material. I got to pay for their labor. And then you want me to just do all of that at no interest for 45 days.
Kiss my white
ass. I'm like,
here's
how this works. You pay me the moment we're done. Check in hand the moment we're done.
I thought you were going to say, you give me a check when we show up before I even start.
Well,
I thought that's where you were going.
I added
that
to it. I said, in other words, the check is actually cut before we even arrive, and you hand it to me the day we do the work.
Okay.
And then you make your 20% by floating the cost of this for the 45 days.
Yeah.
And then
it's called perspective, dude.
And then they pay you the 75 or the 85 that you're going to charge them.
Yeah.
And you made your $1,500 for making a phone call and floating that money for 45 days. That's how you work as a general contractor. That's how you have skin in the game. And guess what? If they decide to slow pay you.
It's on you, not me.
Right.
Yeah.
If they decide to slow pay you, you're going to go after them because that's your money, right?
Yeah.
Well, right now, if I don't collect a payment due upon completion and they decide to slow pay you, you have no reason whatsoever to pursue them for the money because you aren't out anything. So you could care less if they slow pay you.
Yeah. All you had to do is make a phone call. Who cares if you didn't make the $1,500?
Right. It means you don't get paid, but it also means you didn't lose any money.
Yeah. But it means
I lost all the money.
Yeah. It means I got to go burn their house down and then drive to your house and burn it down too.
Imagine driving through McDonald's.
$1,500.
Imagine driving through McDonald's as a realtor and saying, hey, can I pay for this with a check at closing when I sell this house in a month and a half?
Yeah. No.
No. They're going to say no.
Well,
right.
Let's get to the biscuits here. Did he do it? No.
Oh God, no.
Yeah.
but he's so dumb. He's like, well, I guess it doesn't sound like you want the work. No, I want the work, but I want to get paid for the work.
Yeah.
Dumbass. Like, we don't do this for free.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You don't want to do this for free. I don't want to do this for free.
His name's not Brad Harris, is it?
No.
No. I had a guy that I think was expecting me to do net 30 on $200 for video work. $200.
No. Dude, what are you doing? Yeah.
Somebody in that office bought donuts and pizza for everybody. They can pay your fucking bill.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
They got a credit card.
And net 30 is dead these days anyway. Like, like with his fat, like if I can order something off of Amazon right now and it's on my doorstep at 4 a.m.,
yeah,
there's no reason you can't pay the bill that you've already gone through all of the protocol to approve.
We are at a weird time, right?
As, yeah.
You know, financially, like, it, you know, this whole big, I don't want to change subjects, but this whole, well, they're going to get rid of cash and blah, 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 which they shouldn't.
Maybe.
But we're already 90% rid of cash.
Yeah.
We're cashless 90% now.
Yeah.
Like, right. Relax.
Right.
Like, but we're to the point where people want to still act like, how do I say this? We're on the balancing point of where people are paying with checks. And people are wanting net 30, but those people are retiring and moving on. And young guys like us are starting to, I say young guys, like, you know, are starting to take that over. And it's just like one of those things you have to deal with.
Right.
But as far as being exceptional is, don't be the exception to the rule as far as I want to get paid now, not I want to wait.
Right. The standard is.
I didn't say that very clearly, but you knew what I meant.
Yeah. The standard is. Small-time contractors get fucked over by these general contractors because the general contractors string them along on payment and string them along on everything else. And then
until they don't have enough money to operate.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg, right? The general contractors also string you along on scheduling. They make it impossible for you to build your schedule because if they're unreliable to pay you, they're definitely unreliable on when the job's going to be ready. And, oh, you can be here at this day. And then you show up and it's not ready. And now you've wasted a day and now you're scrambling to find your crews. And like it all runs together, right? So the exception to the rule is, homie, don't play that game. The exception to the rule is, no, when I come to your business and put in a water heater, you pay me that day for the water heater.
Game. Well, I haven't heard that since about 2003.
Right. I mean, imagine the power companies. Imagine calling the power company and being like, hey, can you hold that bill until the customer pays me and then I pay you.
Well, could you hold my power bill until my work picks up and I get some things that some jobs come through that, you know, I did last month because, you know, I just don't have them. No, they're like, we're shutting your shit off.
Well, so the kiss of death for this guy, because he kept trying to turn it on me as if I don't want the work. And he asked me that twice in texting. And I flipped right back around and I said, look.
No, dude, you write me a check right now. I'll be there tomorrow and do the work.
Yeah, I said, stop asking if I don't want the work. I want to get paid for the work I do.
Immediately.
I said, if you're too broke to afford my bill, then maybe you need to go to the bank and get a loan. I'm not a bank. I'm not loaning you repair money for 45 days, especially when you have a track record of not paying me for the other two jobs that total $800.
Yeah.
If you can't pay me $800, where's my expectation that you're going to pay me $700?
Did you get the $800?
No, we still haven't gotten the $800.
Do I know this guy?
No, you don't.
I think I know.
I think I'm going to start being a guy for hire.
Well,
just carry around some sandbags.
I mean, we flagged his account. Do not ever work for anymore. I pepper him with emails and get, you know, he think I'm working on it. Oh, it's coming. Oh, checks in the mail. Just like how many checks have you put in the mail?
Go slash his tires and say and put a note on his truck that says bill paid. Don't say Smedley. Just bill paid.
And chances are, if he's treating me like this, he's treating a whole lot of people like this. And so he would have no clue who did it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Bill paid. Just leave it.
Right.
Like, which one are you?
I'm not saying I haven't pulled a couple valve stems in my day.
Well,
I mean, you know.
Here's the thing, though.
I'm just saying.
That doesn't pay. Like, I'm not going to waste my time and still not get paid. You know what I mean?
Man, this is what we were talking about.
This is the difference
earlier.
Between you and me. Right.
If I don't feel vindicated at least a little bit,
right.
I harbor that.
Right.
Like, okay.
Yeah. But, like, the exception to the rule is hold yourself to a higher standard.
Let me do it for you,
get paid for the work you do, and don't sign up for work that you don't think you're going to get paid for.
Yeah.
That's the exception, right?
I mean, when you get down to it, exception is not caring what anyone else thinks. Like, normally, people will not go at a customer like that because they care. Well, what's he going to think if I say that? What's he going to think or tell other people if I do that?
Right.
Don't care what they think. Just don't care.
At what point
fuck
does it?
Everybody
it
else.
Doesn't matter what they think because they aren't paying your bills.
Yes, that's my point.
Like literally, they
who
physically
cares?
Aren't paying your bills. They are paying their bills.
What they think.
Right.
But even then, they'll be like, "Well, I may get a bad review, or I may not get more work. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
Yeah.
What they think or what they do." It's zero. This is a weird.
Let me see if I can find it here.
This is sort of like somewhat an enlightenment for me because there was this guy that I pitch work too, and I communicated that, like, I mean, you know, I don't do this whole like net 30, like I get paid like that day. And I ended up, like, we scheduled it, but it got rescheduled and it never worked out. And I was kind of thinking, like, oh, that's a bummer. But I'm like, maybe they just never had the money to pay me in the first place.
Yeah. So you dodged a bullet.
Yeah. So I'm like, I'm looking at it now like, oh, I dodged a bullet. And I think it happened with another guy too, or the guy that I think maybe expected me to do the net 45 or net 30. Like, I reached out to him.
Yeah.
And just like, yeah, well, I'll let you know when I have work. And just like, that yeah. was just like,
it's, you know. It's weird. Like, when you're younger, and I'm not talking about you, I'm just talking about in general, when you're younger, you don't, like, your give a fuck is higher. You get a little older, give a fuck goes down. You don't really care what other people think. Like, and I still, like, and it doesn't matter if it's business, if it's personal, if it's whatever. It just, people misplace, how do I say this? People put too much weight into what other people think and how it's going to affect them than it actually does.
Right.
Like a perfect example of this. I don't know if I should say this on the show or not. So my tattoo on my left arm.
Right.
Okay. American flag, we the people, I love America. Mm-hmm. Everyone fucking knows that listens to this show. My sister, who I love dearly, they vote Democrat, okay?
Right.
They
hate it here.
They don't hate it here. They love it here. But, like, she literally asks me, we're on vacation in Florida. She literally asks me, or she says to me, I just don't think I would put anything on, like, I wouldn't put anything permanent or anything like that, because, like, in a roundabout way of what other people in the world think about our country now. And I'm literally thinking, why do you give a fuck?
Right.
What I didn't say this to her, because I love her, and I was not ruining my vacation.
Right.
Like, why do you care what anyone else fucking thinks about this country or where we're at? I don't care what Joe Blow, who's my best friend, lives down the street from me, thinks about it.
Right.
I don't give a fuck. I do shit for me.
Right.
You know, I do shit that I want to do. Why would I put any weight on what someone else thinks that I don't even know or their perspective?
Yeah, they'll never meet.
Like, what?
Yeah.
Like, I my mind was blown when I thought about it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just, what?
Yeah.
What?
I don't want to fly an American flag in my yard because
in the world think that this country isn't doing the best, or that, you know, we invade other countries.
So what that actually is?
Fuck, what the fuck kind of bullshit is that?
What that means is they're ashamed of their own country, but they're too afraid to admit it. And so they're putting that blame on other people.
Well, I think
they think this country is bad. And so I don't want to represent this country because they may think it's bad.
Well, I think that she literally thinks that this country's probably shit. Like,
yeah.
I think that she probably thinks, oh, we should do this way and we should do that. But it's like the reasoning behind it is what other countries do.
Yeah.
Or, like, do you not know that we're still at the top?
Yeah.
Like, we're not Dubai. We don't, you know, have gold vending machines. We don't have the best skyscrapers. We don't have this. But you know what? Our women can walk around without covering their faces.
Right.
Like, what? Yeah. What are we?
It's against the law to beat a woman here.
What are we doing?
They just don't
have
great reading programs like Cuba does.
How do you even have?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get fired up, but how do you even care what anyone else thinks to the point where you won't do what you want to do?
Yep.
And business is the same way. Why do you care what Sally down the street thinks about? Oh, you should run your business this way. Fuck that bitch.
Right.
Do what you want to do. Don't. It's insane to me, man. It's fucking insane.
Right at a year ago, September 18th, 23, I made a post on Facebook that says, I used to care what other people thought about me, and then I tried paying my bills with their opinions. Turns out you can't deposit the opinions of other people.
Did you rob that, or was that just something that's good.
Yeah.
That may be one of the best things you've ever said and or posted, or that's good.
Right. If they don't pay your bills, who cares what they think?
You should
put
that in our group.
So then,
in our TradeWinds group.
In TradeWinds, December 13th, 2023, I said, if they don't pay your bills, ignore their opinions. I've spoken to my brother-in-law. This is a story about my brother-in-law. He's super critical of my socials, of how much I post and what I post and everything else.
He's a piece of shit, too.
Right.
Does
Guess
he
what?
Listen to this show? I hope he does.
They do. They do, because we don't communicate to them at all. So literally, they try to wrap their head around everything that's happening in our life from the little snippets that they get from this show.
I hope to God that I meet him someday and he's like, "You're a piece of shit. I'll fucking knock his goddamn teeth out."
I'll make it short of this.
So
that's fine.
What I'm saying is this isn't some...
I ain't scared of shit, Austin. I care what no one thinks.
This isn't some trendy thing, right? So my socials make my brother-in-law uncomfortable. And I said, you will make people uncomfortable as you grow and develop. Be ready. Be ready for criticism. Be ready for people to tell me how or tell you how you've changed. Be ready to move away from those who had the opportunity to grow with you but chose to stay in the same place. Right?
Yeah.
One of the things that happens during the personal development journey that people are on, we're all on it. Some are in a faster gear than others. Some choose not to be on it, even though we still are.
Too. Like, right. As you get older, things change. You know, it's an evolving process.
You grow and develop, and those around you have the opportunity to grow and develop with you, and they choose not to. And so you will outpace them. You will outgrow them. You will grow to a level where they no longer serve you. That is perfectly okay. That's not saying they're bad people either.
And it's not they're just you can't at a different
speed. Right. They're at a different speed or a different pace on their journey than you are.
It's fine. Yeah.
But recognize that because they will hold you back, especially if you're in the pursuit of exceptionality. If you're in the pursuit of doing things better than anybody has ever done them before, you will catch flack. You will catch criticism. But if their opinions paid your bills, then listen to it. If their opinions don't pay your bills, then fuck them.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be mean about it. You don't have to be like, fuck you. Your opinions don't pay my bills. Just be like, thanks for the advice. We might take it, right?
Yeah.
Austin and I get tons of criticism on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Tons.
Fuck them.
Right? What's funny? Like, the number one criticism we get is excessive background music. Okay? Now, what's funny is not one person that's ever criticized, like, I'll go stalk the people that are criticizing our videos. Not one person that's ever criticized our videos has more than 4 videos on their own YouTube channel. Not one.
Yeah.
And that's a stat I actively look at because I'll stalk them.
So much time. I don't get it.
No. What it is I'll stalk them. I'll realize you haven't done shit.
Yeah.
And then I'll clap back at them and I'll be like, yeah, the loudest cries come from the people that are doing the least.
Yeah.
Like when you have a video that has 500,000 views, let me know.
Yeah.
And then I'll listen to you.
Yeah.
But until you've done more than me.
Yeah. Why would I care what you think?
Yeah. I'm like, not.
You know, this is going to probably be weird for you. One of the greatest compliments I've ever gotten. And this was probably, I was probably 24 or 25 years old. Your brother looks at me. I don't even remember the context or where we were, but I was mouthing and talking shit and doing all this. He literally looks at me and he says, "You don't give a fuck what anyone thinks, do you?"
Yeah.
And I was like, "No, I don't." He was like, and he literally looked at me. He's like, "Dude, that's awesome." And laughed out loud.
Right.
Like, and I will remember that for the rest of my life.
Yep.
Like, and what's weird is I don't know if it was the compliment or that it was coming from him or that it was a self-realization moment for me.
Right.
It was probably more of a self-realization moment for me that he's right. I literally give no fucks what anyone else thinks about me.
Right.
I will do what I want and what I think is best for my personal growth, family growth, whatever, and I'm just going to roll with it. And I'm not going to cow down to whoever else.
Right.
And be part of the minutia that is reality.
Right.
That is fucking living in the Midwest. That is, you know, just being part of the same old, same old.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll remember that forever.
Yeah.
Like he just looks me in the eye and he goes, "You give a fuck what anyone else thinks, do you?" I was like, "No, no, dude, I don't. I don't give a fuck what anyone else thinks."
Alex Hormozi is a guy that I follow on social media. If you don't know who he is, follow him. He's got some really cool shit.
Nah, I'm good. I can only keep track of so many is my problem.
2 days ago, he posted, "If you die in 20 years, your friends and family will argue over who gets what."
They won't. I got a will.
"People will want food to eat. The topic will shift from your life to their life. They'll drive away thinking about their looming to-do list. They're no longer thinking about you. Some people won't be able to make it to your own funeral because something came up. Do what you want."
Yeah.
In other words, just like you said, stop caring what other people think.
Yeah.
Their opinion doesn't matter. And
well, I don't want to, I don't want people to get confused because like Mitch's opinion matters to me. You know what I mean?
It's different people, whenever they've gotten into your circle.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying people that are strong influences on you and that are rowing in the same direction is different than random people that don't care or don't know, or people that are close to you,
right,
but are doubting you or trying to slow you down.
Right.
I just want to be clear on that.
Yeah. And so whenever I talk about depositing the opinions of others and turns out, yeah, those checks don't cash, right?
Those checks don't cash, bitch.
Your opinions cash.
Yeah.
In other words, because we have the level of care and trust with each other that if you're going to get serious about something, I'm going to listen to that opinion, yeah, because it has an impact on my finances, right? You're not some random stranger. You're definitely not some,
yeah,
person I've never met across the world who may think the U.S. sucks.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? I think Somalia sucks.
Yeah.
Do you think
does.
They give two shits what I think? No,
they
don't
to
fucking
kill us
care.
All.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Right.
Why do you care? They literally want to see us fall.
Right.
Like, oh,
so,
stop.
So, like, that's not to say nobody's opinion matters.
No, it's that
those
you
closest to you, their opinion matters as long as they truly have your best interest at heart. And none of this scapegoat bullshit of like, I don't want to see you take that risk. I'm just looking out for you. No.
Yeah,
if they have
scapegoat.
Their best interest at heart, it's like, hey, that's risk. I see it here. Let's work together and mitigate the risk so that you're successful.
Yeah.
That's how that conversation goes.
Yeah, it's different. It's like
it's not the Debbie Downer.
Yeah, it's like the conversation we had the other day. Like I said, I think it should be worth X.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
I don't want to be too vague, but I don't want to be specific either.
David and I had a business opportunity come up where we're talking about the, you know, how to handle this situation. And I mean, we value each other's opinions.
Yeah.
And so like we both want to see each other succeed. And so we came to what we think is a good thing here. But we talked about risk. We talked about how to mitigate the risk. Not once did anybody say we shouldn't do it.
Yeah. I think this should be wrong. These are my concern. A true friend or true confidant or someone that, you know, you look up to will tell you their honest opinion about risk involvement.
Right.
Where you should be at X, Y, and Z and say, this is my opinion.
Right.
You don't have to take it. This is just what I think.
Yep.
You know what I mean? The real problem gets into someone that you like divulge information to and seek their opinion on only gives their side.
Right.
Like that's when the flags go up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, I think that this, and I think that this, and I think that this, and they don't ask you questions like, well, what do you really think about it?
Right.
Do you really think you should be doing this instead of this?
Right.
Like when there are actual conversations being had by people that care about you, they bring up both sides and they ask you what's important to you.
One of the most powerful questions you can ever ask somebody that's coming to you for advice is asking them, what do you want?
Yeah.
Because you're going to learn real quick what motivates them and what drives them.
Yeah.
And if somebody comes to you and says, oh, should I market? Should I not market? Should I buy the truck? Should I not buy the truck? Should I hire the guy? Should I not hire the guy?
Yeah.
I like to start by learning. Sometimes I don't even have to ask a question. Sometimes they tell me, but I like to start by learning, what do they really want? Do they want growth, or are they trying to act like they want growth because that's the popular thing to grow and scale your business and they don't actually want it?
Yeah.
Because if they don't want growth,
they're going to fail.
They're going to fail horribly
if they try to grow.
If they try to grow. You have to want it, right?
Yeah.
Same thing goes for the other way. Do you want to stay a one-man shop? Because if you don't want to stay a one-man shop and you want to grow, you got to handle those situations differently than if you want to stay a one-man shop, right? So asking people what they want and getting to the root, like, you got to get behind the bullshit of what the first answer they're going to tell you is what they think you want to hear. Right. And so like with Tradewinds, we're in the business of making people's businesses grow. Right.
Yeah.
And so we'll ask people, what do you want? Oh, I want to grow. Well, I know you say that, but like, what do you really want? What's your ideal day look like? What's a dream day look like for you?
Yeah.
Is a dream day turning wrenches and making people smile and fixing their shit? Or is a dream day sitting on a beach while your company runs autonomously and you're just reaping the rewards of building an awesome business? because those are two greatly different goals. Yeah. And if you want to be turning wrenches, but you say you want to be sitting on a beach, you'll forever be turning wrenches.
Yeah. And that's the good thing about Tradewinds. Like, I don't want this to be a Tradewinds like spinoff, but like,
we don't care what you want. We just want to know what you want so we can help you get there.
George Diaz.
Yeah.
I love using George as an example because he's a fucking stand-up guy.
Right.
Like, he's a one-man show, wants to be a one-man show. Like, you know, and we will have, like I've said to other guys in the group, like during group calls while he's there, hey, look, I tell people I was a one-man show. I wish I could have gone back in time and grown my business, right? So that I didn't get burned out. George is like, no, I'm great. I'm killing it. I love it.
Yeah.
Like, he knows what he wants.
Yeah.
Like, he knows, and he's fucking killing it.
Yeah.
And has been for 2 years now.
Right.
Like, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, but, like, you have to, I don't want to get on a whole other tangent here. You have to know what you want and where you're going and what you really desire for your business before you go to confidants like me and Mitch and say, hey, this is what I want. You've got to be giving them the truth to get good advice.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, if Mitch comes to me with a bunch of bullshit, I know it's bullshit. That's not what Mitch wants.
Right.
You know, but if I don't know Mitch real well and I'm trying to learn him, he's a member of Tradewinds and I'm asking him all these questions and I get down to the nitty gritty of he says he wants that. He doesn't really want that.
He doesn't want it. Right.
That's a problem.
Well,
that's a problem.
And the problem is not that he doesn't want it. The problem is that he refuses to admit he doesn't want it in that case.
Yeah, that could be true.
Because like, you don't have to grow and scale your business to be a multi-million dollar business in order to be successful. Success is an illusion. It's different for everybody, right?
Yeah.
Are you happy? Are you healthy? That's success.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, everyone's definition of success is different.
Totally
which
different.
Which means you can't just come at it like that.
Right. Happy and healthy. That's it, right? Are you happy with your marriage? Cool. Are you happy with your business? Cool. Are you happy with your personal development? Cool.
Yeah.
Are you healthy in your marriage? Cool. Are you healthy in your business? Cool. Are you healthy in your personal?
Yeah.
Cool. That's success.
Yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
It's that simple, right?
Is Mitch's definition of healthy with his money 5 million or is it lower like mine? Like 2 million. I'm just throwing out numbers.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's perspective.
It's a perspective thing, right?
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that would love to have 100 grand. And there's a lot of people that are like, I blow through 100 grand in a week.
Dude,
I need 10 million.
I've literally had this question asked me before in front of someone we know, literally asked me and another guy. We were standing right next to each other. What's a lot of money to you? And the guy said $35,000. Like, if I had $35,000, I could be killing it. And he's thinking I could pay off this and I could pay off this. And I looked at him, I was like, 10 mil.
Right.
The kid looked at me like I was insane. I was like, no, dude, at 10 mil, I could get the farm I want, could pay off my house, I could have a couple of cars that I love, Janine could not work, and I could still work, and my kids...
Live off the interest.
And my kids' college would be paid for. Like, that's the number it would take.
Right.
And, like, he looked at me like I was insane.
Right.
And I was like, no, it's perspective. I've been on the planet long enough to know that those are things I want.
Right.
Other people would have said 100 million.
Right.
Because they have no realistic expectations of what having $100 million would be.
Yeah.
You know, like what do we talk about all the time? People win the lottery and piss it all away.
Right.
Because they don't know what happiness is for them.
Right.
They don't know what satisfaction is for them.
Yeah.
Like, for me, that number is it, you know? Like, I don't need $100 million
right.
to be happy. I mean, I'm pretty happy now.
Right.
You know, it's pretty dangerous to be in that spot of like not knowing what your goal is, but you're like, all I know is I just got to go out there and do it.
Yeah, not knowing what makes you happy, not knowing where you want to be in life, and not knowing expectations, and then someone handing you $100 million is a very dangerous thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
That's how waste happens. That's how, you know, people say, well, you know, more money, more problems. Yeah, it's because you don't know what happiness really is.
Right.
You know, you don't know what it's going to take to get there.
Yeah. They say money doesn't create happiness, but I've never seen somebody crying in a Ferrari.
No, I haven't. Don't bring up Ferraris. You know, it's a sore subject for me. I've been saving my pennies for like a year. And
you're crying because you're not in a Ferrari.
I don't need a new one. I want an old one that I can drive the shit out of.
Yeah.
And I'm not there. I'm not there. I think Janine literally said this to me the other day. We were talking about it. Me getting a Ferrari, right?
Right.
And I want an older Ferrari that I can drive, that's fun, that I can take care of, all that fun stuff. She's like, you know, if you sold your boat and you sold your guitars and you sold your gun, all your guns, you could almost like, you could put like 50% down. And right. I was like,
but then I'm not
like,
happy.
But that's like, it's a, that's a gut check moment. Yeah. Like, oh,
have you, well, have like, you ever heard that joke of like, oh, wow. That you ever heard that joke of like, wow, you must be filthy rich. You got a boat like that. And it's like, no, I'm not rich because I have a boat like this.
Yeah.
Well, at least you're happy. And it's like, well, no, I'm only happy because I have the boat, right? They're like, well, why don't you sell the boat? Well, because then I wouldn't be happy.
Yeah. Like, yeah. It's a catch 22.
It's a catch 22.
She's like, and I looked at her and I was like, you know, if I sold that Camaro I bought you, I'd be a lot closer to it. And she was like, fuck you.
Yeah. And I was like, I could totally see her saying that.
Yeah. I spent, like, when my mom died, I got that money and I spent it. I bought that car for her with that money. And I'm like, and so it's a running joke at the house. I'm like, that's, you know, that's really mine.
Yeah. It's my mom's.
Like, I bought it for you, but you know, like
Indian giver.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just, it's a running joke with us, you know, like our money is our money. Like everything just goes into the pot. Like, that's how we've been successful. I'm not saying people that don't do that aren't successful, but like, that's just how it is for us. And that's how it works. And it's like, yeah, but you know, I sell that motherfucker, get my own shit.
Right. Get my own. Right.
But, we're at an hour and a half, Mitch. Are we going to wrap up? Or you want to talk about something else?
No, we're
you
good.
Sure? I got time.
The moral of today's story is,
don't give a fuck what other people think.
If you want to be exceptional and you want to go down that path,
what other
be ready
think?
To be misunderstood, be ready to have your opinions not well received amongst others, and be ready to get your, have your circle get real small. Because if you want to be exceptional, you're going to need that constant motivation and that constant uptick. Like we provide in Tradewinds, by the way, but also shameless plug. But also, the majority of people in America want to go the easy route. They want to not be exceptional. They want to be ordinary, not extraordinary. Right. And so if you want to be extraordinary,
that's good, buddy.
You're going to have to do things that other people think are a little odd and a little silly. Get ready for it. Don't let it get under your skin. And if their opinions don't deposit in your bank, ignore them.
Yeah. As you get higher, the air gets thinner.
Right.
Which means people drop off. It's just fucking reality.
It just is what it is.
It is what it is.
So until next week, guys, we will see you later.
Love y'all.